Hi, and welcome to the Overflow Podcast. I'm Chuck Ammons, lead pastor of Overflow Church in Brandon, Florida, and we are here to help you receive the Father's love and to release it to everyone you encounter, everywhere. Wherever you're listening from today, your God adores you. I pray this message elevates and ignites your faith. On this podcast, you will find biblical messages to activate your faith so you experience the goodness of God and the greatness of your unique voice in His kingdom. To find out more about Overflow Church, visit us at overflowchurch.com or on Facebook at Overflow Church Brandon. We'd also love to encourage you to check out our book, Life in the Overflow, and its accompanying devotional on Amazon.com.
Wow, that looks like a lot of fun. Did you guys have a blast?
Yeah.
You ready for next year?
Well,
there's stuff before that, but that's good. All right, I'm going to check on you guys every once in a while because I know you got to be mad sleepy right now, so I'm going to be looking for some energy from you, all right? Okay. You guys might not even know who I am, so I thought it would be a good idea to introduce myself. I'm kind of like the Darkwing Duck of the pastors, kind of lurking in the shadows and up against the wall somewhere with my hands in my pockets. But my name is Josh Balog. Yes. The Josh Balog, that's right, the one and only. I have a life motto. I thought I'd like to share it with you guys. Is that okay? Can I share that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. My life motto is this: give me ambiguity or give me something else. I also have a couple superpowers, but the one I thought I would want to share with you guys is that I can tell when someone's being judgmental just by looking at them. I used to be really indecisive, but now I'm not so sure. In my spare time, you guys may not know this, but I like to write. Yeah, in fact, I just finished a book on reverse psychology. Whatever you do, don't read it. And speaking of books, I went to a thrift store. We like to go to thrift stores. I was paging through a thesaurus, and not only was it terrible, but it was terrible. It's one for the word nerds. Amazingly, even in spite of all this, I'm married. My wife is over here somewhere. Where are you? 19 years. Doesn't stop her from getting mad at me when I misquote The Princess Bride. Unbelievable. I also have a few favorite things in life. I wanted to share them with you real quick. I love eating my family and not using commas. Let that one sink in there. Some of you will get that much later today. You're welcome. I'm also very curious, so I ask a lot of questions, like, what if there were no hypothetical questions? And do people with photographic memories, are they born with it, or is it just something that develops later? I don't know. I've come to realize that some people have a way with words, and other people not have way with words. And as I've gotten older and I've reflected on all those that I've lost along the way, I've realized that maybe a career as a tour guide just wasn't for me. And then lastly, I read a piece of news the other day. It really impacted me deeply. It really stuck with me. The inventor of Velcro passed away on Thursday. Did you guys hear this? RIP. All right, so that was really just more for me to help me relax. Hopefully that was enjoyable for you. It's not going to stand up to any of these actual comedians, right? Like, these guys are great. I've heard some of their sets. But I do actually want to introduce myself for real. Some of that is quasi-real and mostly just joking. But I wanted to show a picture of my family. There they are. That's Brenda and Bailey and Fraser and Kimmel and Everett. And as you will notice, I have three teenagers at the same time. Thank you. We'll talk about that later in just a minute. Some of my hobbies, things that I really enjoy doing, are I love to learn. So I love to read and I love to write. and I joined the staff as a volunteer music reviewer at Jesus Freak Hideout almost 8 years ago now. So that's one of the things I do as a hobby. I love baseball and have been following the Atlanta Braves since, well, a long time, 1991, I believe. And then also one of the other things that is one of my favorites is community. Is there anybody in here that's in a missional community? Yeah. Isn't it so cool? There's some really cool things that happen in there. Now, they've been called different names, and we believe missional community has a very specific thing that's a little bit different than a small group. But I've also been in small groups, in life groups, and all these other names that we have for them. But some of the coolest things that have ever happened to me personally or us as a family have all happened in community. So I care very deeply for community and very much would love to talk about it at a moment's notice and help you to be able to get in community if you don't have it. Also, I enjoy card games, and I enjoy pressed Cuban sandwiches. Anybody else like a pressed Cuban sandwich? Whoa. All right, who's taking me to lunch then? Anybody? Not as many volunteers. Okay, all right. In fact, you know, you talk about sometimes how you segment, and you have these boxes of different things that you're thinking about. There's a nothing box for guys. Yeah. I have a pressed Cuban box. So if you see me kind of staring out the window with a wistful look on my face, I'm dreaming of when I can have my next pressed Cuban. That's where I go sometimes. I also love words, so I'm a logophile, right? That's somebody that's a lover of words. I like to use words that are unnecessary, like apropos or bumfuzzle, which some of you are displaying on your face right now the definition of the word, which means to be confused. It's unnecessary. There's a few other things that I believe, though, before we kind of here launch right all the way into this, and it's one of them, the main things is this, that if you boil all of life down into just one principle or these two principles, it comes down to relationships. All of life comes down to relationships. The Bible says that if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, then we'll be succeeding in the Christian life. But we don't stand a chance of being able to love our neighbor as ourself if we don't first love God and spend time with him, right? So all of life comes down to relationships. I also believe that, as Martin Luther said many, many years ago, that you preach best what you need most. And so that's why today I want to take you guys on a little bit of a journey. I want this to be kind of a conversation, just a conversation between friends here on what the Lord has been teaching me lately. And then let's see if it's something that you can apply also to your life, because I believe that it is. Okay? So here's the setup. Like all great stories, there's a problem to overcome. And I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. But before I do that, I want to share with you our bottom line for the day. You ready? Get your pens out. It's a really long one. Whatever. Just teasing. I wanted to keep it simple, right? So we're going to come back to this principle right here, whatever. Oftentimes, if you hear this word, you hear it used as a dismissive way. Oh, whatever, like you don't believe them. But we're going to look to recapture the meaning of the word today, and we're going to add an exclamation point. That's all we're doing. We're just adding a little line on top of the period. So it's not just a dismissive statement, but it's something that we're going to embrace with joy and something we're going to look to make a part of our everyday life. So here's the problem, my small problem that was becoming a big problem. I realized I've become an incredibly anxious person. Anybody else struggle with some anxiety here and there? If you do, just look off to the right and don't look at me. Just kind of put your head down. Gotcha. And why not, right? Life's gotten expensive. Anybody been grocery shopping recently? Hello. I have three teenagers. They eat everything in sight, even things that I didn't know were there, right? One of them just got their learner's permit. Hello. Woo! Bailey, you know I love you. I sat in the back seat the other day, and it was a different experience. She's getting better. It's fine. We're good. But I did have a different level of anxiety that I hadn't experienced before. That's all I'll say. The other thing, and the main thing too, like automatic bathrooms, right? Anybody else? That makes me anxious. You're sitting there minding your own business and the lights go off. You're waving your arms around, throwing toilet paper in the air. Nothing. You move around too much and the toilet flushes, thinking you're done. You get to experience a bidet whether you want to or not. Worse yet, You're sitting there in the dark and someone else walks in. What do you do? A little polite cough. You shuffle your feet. You sing a song. I don't know. How do you keep from giving them a heart attack is what I'm saying. So anxiety, right? I wanted to share. I don't think I'm the only one that struggles with it, even though there wasn't a ton of people that raised their hands. I get it, okay? I probably wouldn't either if I were out there. I found a couple of tweets that I think can illustrate for us. Me? Okay. I'm going to go to sleep. Anxiety. My time to shine, baby. Let's do this. That happened to me last night as I was trying to go to bed early and be good so I could be ready for today. Couldn't do it. All right. What else we got? Me at work having a normal Monday. My anxiety. But what if it's not, though? And then, yeah, this one describes me. I've identified. I'm very laid back. I only care about two things. Every person on earth and their opinion of me, and the crushing psychological weight of being alive. Very simple. Very simple version. So we know we have an anxiety problem, right? I've been doing up a little bit of reading. Gen Z and Gen Alpha, which is the I guess the current generation up through 2025, has been described as the anxious generation. Anxiety, depression, suicide ideation has gone off the charts percentage-wise with each successive generation. There's a lot of reasons for that, and as I am able to do more research, maybe I'll have an opportunity to share an article or something with you, but not the least of those is the supercomputers that we carry around with us in our pockets every day with all the notifications and all the distractions and things that are pinging at us and tugging at us for our attention. We're anxious. We have a problem. I've had a problem, so what do I do? What do we do? How do we address this problem? Let's take a look at Scripture. Scripture has something to say about this. I love Scripture. You can turn to Philippians chapter 4 if you have your Bible with you, or you're going to look in your app. We're also going to put it on the screen. But Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. And you know what? Aren't you glad that Scripture doesn't just stop right there and put a period on it? It's like, yeah, don't be anxious about anything. It'd be like going into a therapist and telling them, you know, I'm anxious. And their response would be, well, stop it. Right? There's no period there, though. There's a comma. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then we're going to keep going. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a few other scriptures that I want to reference that I would love for you to study kind of on your own. I even have some questions in the Bible app there for you to use in your missional communities. But if you'll also take a look at Colossians 3:16 and 17 and verses 23 and 24 of Colossians and 1 Corinthians 10:31. And then also a Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. There's a lot more about anxiety there and worry and how we can address those things. But today we're going to stick here. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. This passage has meant a lot to me. And actually at some point, I hope we're able to, as a church, preach through this entire epistle that Paul sent to the Philippians. It's very unique. Whoa, spit, sorry. Anybody? Good? Okay. It's the spit zone. I'm not usually known as a spitter, but who knows? I'm a little dry. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter not addressing any type of spiritual concern or any problem. He was writing the Philippians to thank them. And it's all based around a very brief passage that's probably my favorite passage in the Bible that describes Jesus and the approach that he took as far as the kenosis of emptying himself, becoming a man, dying on the cross and being raised again. It's all based around that one little poem that's also thought to be the first hymn of the early church. Everything else kind of wrapped around it. Wonderful book. Four chapters, lots of practical stuff in it. I encourage you to read it. Hopefully we'll be able to preach through it here someday soon. But here's a couple of things that I wanted to point it out to you. Whatever you feel, he's a safe place to process your feelings. Isn't that great? Whatever you feel. And I hope this isn't blasphemous, but God's the king of big boy pants, right? He can handle anything you can throw at him. Anger, profanity. He is the safest place to go with any emotion that you have. The joy that you may be feeling as you placed, maybe the disappointment that you're feeling because you didn't, the safest place that you can go to process any emotion. And he's available, accessible, anytime you need him, right? That's so good, first of all. Secondly, whatever you're going through, whether it's good, whether you would classify it as bad, hard, easy, heartbreaking, he's with you. It says he never leaves you and he will never forsake you. So no matter what it is that you're facing today or that you faced yesterday or that you face in the future that you may be anxious about, he's with you. Not only that, but check this out. Because God exists outside time, this isn't in my message, but I just love to say this. Because God exists outside of time, he's eternally in the present, which means that he's in the future, he's in the past, and he's currently with you right now. So wherever you're going, he's already there. And when you get there, he's already in you, so he's already with you. Right? So whatever you're going through, he's with you. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And then also, whatever you need, God provides. If you look on your own time at Matthew, it talks about all the things that he can provide as far as food and shelter, what we will wear. He provides all those things. Not only that, but whatever he asks you to do in your life, he gives you what you need to do it. Isn't that cool? So whatever you think, say, do, or eat, do it all for his glory, right? So here's what I've had to learn from this passage. Let me see if I've got, oh, here we go. Thanksgiving. That's what I want to kind of highlight to you guys. Gratitude. In this passage, not only does it say just not be anxious, but it says if you'll come to him with whatever feeling, whatever emotion, whatever you're going through, and with gratitude, bring it to him, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will not only just guard our heart, but will also guard our mind. And anxiety starts in the mind, right? So it's very important how we think about what we think about. So I've had to put this into practice lately. Like, gratitude has been very important, but I've been in a place that's been kind of stuck. Stuck in cynicism, stuck in some past hurt, maybe just being stubborn, ungrateful, entitled. I mean, you can make a long list of things. But I've been anxious. And the only thing that really has busted that anxiety for me has been gratitude. So here's what I want us to do. Because here's the linchpin of the entire message, right? It's very simple, but it's not easy. We can hear something that's true, and by tomorrow we'll have already forgotten it. But until we actually do something with what we've heard that's true and put it into practice, practice. You put it into practice so that it becomes a habit, that we can more quickly get to the point of, if we're melting down emotionally or having an issue, we can shift our perspective from one of complaining to gratitude, right? I was going to act something out for you guys, but I need a chair. Can I have that chair? Can you hand that to me? Yeah. I want to act something out for you that happened to me on Wednesday. Sorry, I would have had a chair. Oh, yeah, this is great. Thank you. Okay. Well done. She didn't know she was going to be my assistant, but she did great. I'm not going to touch that. But, okay, traffic, am I right? You guys know what I'm talking about, or do you? Some of you aren't driving yet. Traffic, am I right? Why do we do that? Why do we sit so, like, all teenagers? Oh, I get it. All right, I was in traffic the other day, and I'm going to act this out for you, okay? This is me on 75. Get on. Takes a little while to get on the interstate. I'm going north on 75. Usually takes me about an hour and 5 minutes to get home from here because I work here in Brandon. It's already been an hour and I'm still 40 minutes away from my house. Sitting in a standstill, all the bones in my body start to liquefy so that I'm starting to slide down in my chair. It's a billion degrees outside this today, that day, or at least that's how I remember it. And the AC is not working, okay? So I'm complaining. And I'm melting down. I'm getting lower in my seats. People that are next to me are wondering, like, where is this guy going? I'm probably halfway. We're not moving. And I don't know, it was the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing I can say. This is not anything in me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. He's like, what are you doing? Looking for a little perspective shift here. Like, is it going to get any better if you're anxious about this or you're worried about it or you're annoyed by it? No. Right? So I put on Chicago, Peter Cetera era. That works for me. Anybody else? 1982 to 1989, I think. And I was having a blast. First, I got my bass guitar out. It's hanging out the window. People are staring, it's fine. I'm singing my heart out, best Peter Cetera you could even imagine. Hold on, let me get there though first. Well, let me take the bass off, hold on. Hairspray. Spray tan. Oh. Get the bass. Okay. Having a grand old, play the bass on here, sorry. Just having a great old time, right? And I started doing the drum solos, and I got a little self-conscious because I was going for it, y'all. I was looking around at people. But my whole perspective shifted at that point, right? Like, from bad mood, from if people look from the outside in, it's like, what is this dude's problem? He is having an issue. To, like, I was singing at the top of my lungs. I wasn't hitting most of the notes, but I was having a good time with it. And the breeze started to blow through both windows because they were both open, and the gratitude just took over, so I started being grateful for a bunch of stuff. And I started listing them off. Shifted something for me, right? I got home, I was in a great mood. Can family confirm? Was I in a good mood that day? Serious sweat. Serious sweat, like it dripping into my socks sweat. Like I walk in and they look at me like, whoa, what happened to you? The back of your shirt, sweat, yeah. I was in a great mood. And it's because I was grateful. I'd switched from being upset, from being entitled, from complaining, to being grateful. So here's what I want us to do. A lot of times when we do an activation, it's super serious. We have the lights down. What I want us to do is to turn the lights up. I want you guys to stand up with me real quick. We've got this, and then I want to close us out in just a few minutes beyond that. But what we have here, we're going to play a song. It's an upbeat song. It's fun. Have fun with this. If you want to, not bossing you around. It's not me. I'm not the bossy type. We have index cards. We have pins. We also have some, I think, on the back of the sound booth back there by Micah, if I'm not mistaken. So come get one, and then here's what I want you to do for the next 2 minutes. Write down as many things as you can that you're grateful for. 2 minutes, and if we could put a timer up so we can stay true to that, write down as many things as you can once you get your card, and I want you to write at the very top of it, whatever, with an exclamation point, okay? Go ahead. We've got to move fast on this one.
In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, think about such things. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
I might have to share, we don't have enough pins.
Think about the things you think about. Think about such things. Whatever is true and noble, whatever is bright and pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about the things you think about. Think about such things. Think about the things you think about. Think about.
All right, about 60 more seconds. Many things as you can think of, just don't be alarmed, the song is over, but you're good. You're not grateful for anything, is that what you said? Oh, you need a pen. Somebody share. If you've written down a few, share your pen. 10 more seconds. This can be done later as well, but I wanted us to activate it now. Because here's the thing. If you're done, you can look up at me. Here's the thing. We can make a decision right now to do something, and by Wednesday, we may have completely forgotten. So here's what I want you to do with this. If you didn't get a chance to write anything down, write something down after the service is over, while you're at lunch, during the week. But I want you to put this somewhere where you're going to see it. Put it on your mirror, put it in your car, add to it. Pick something from the list that you have there and thank God for it. If you encounter a situation that's frustrating or that's less than ideal, look at your list, go to it, practice gratitude. Because I promise you this, I'm still in the middle of this, right? I'm still learning this, I'm still getting better at this, but there hasn't been a time when I put this into practice that my attitude hasn't shifted. And here's the other thing that I want to drive home for us as we're closing up. I want you to picture this. We begin practicing busting anxiety with gratitude. We start to get good at it. People start to notice. People get curious. Do you see where I'm going with this? People get curious. We have an opportunity to share with them the reason why we can be content no matter the circumstances. Because here's the thing. It's always been God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So why should it be any different for anyone else? Right? So let's put into practice what we've heard today. Let's put it into habit, and let's become a safe place for other people that are still racked with anxiety. Let's bring the overflow of peace with us that the Holy Spirit gives us so that it can spill out on them. Let's allow it to be a conversation starter. As it changes us, it can also impact other people. A.W. Tozer, who's one of my favorite authors, he said it this way, "Only after all the noise has spent itself do we begin to hear in the silence of our hearts the voice of God." Practicing gratitude a lot of times is about getting still and getting quiet. So let's put that into practice. Let's refer back to our list. Let's add to our list. Let's find ways to become this peace that God wants to give us for other people. Okay? So let's get out there and let's overflow today, tomorrow, and all the days, all right? Thank you, guys.